Joining us now, we do it every week, every Friday, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, is with us. Senator, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm still trying to process the whole week, but I am great. It has been a lot. I think is the best way to put it.
I'll say this, though. It's been a lot, but it does seem like it's not really centrally focused on the, at least the Alabama State Senate chamber at the State House for once.
No, it's interesting, right? So there's a lot going on there, a lot of plates spinning up in the air, trying to make sure everything works and is in place to pass and good bills are passing, and we're doing all of that. There's just a ton of noise out there that's ancillary to the work that is actually going on in the State House that is really kind of interesting, I think, is a way to put it.
Well, it sucked all the oxygen out of these discussions about whatever bills are being considered. But it's an election, at least right now. These things, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and we've been speculating on this for 4 years about who's running for what and who's going to do what. But as we learned about 8 o'clock last night, the long term prognostications and all of the philosophizing we do about state politics, when it comes down to it, I mean, things can really change at any moment. And a lot of it's just talk for talk radio at this point, the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it certainly kind of changes the conversation, but you're right. You know, now it's time to get into the substance of who these folks are that are running, what their qualifications are, because, you know, there's the campaign and then there's governing and one is different from the other. And so you got to make sure you pick a candidate that knows what they're doing. Certainly shares your values and is headed in the right direction, but is actually able to apply them and go in that direction.
Yeah, and we got a lot of work to do to figure out a lot of these discussions in the coming weeks. May 19th will be here before you know it. Aside from that, immediately this morning, we learned that the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and this was what they've been talking about. It's not a total shock, but that they've decided to kind of split their membership up into public and private schools. You could still compete against one each other during the regular season, but we're not going to, for the sake of championships, we're not going to do that anymore. And it's not exactly being met with a lot of applause and accolades, it seems.
Well, I think we're going to look back at this and see this as a huge mistake for high school sports and a high school athletic association, and essentially their central board of control. I love that name. Sounds like something Stalin put together, but anyway.
Very Orwellian, yeah.
Yes. And so the central board of control here has a war on everything not public school, right? It's not focused on children. It's clearly focused on being mad at private schools, being mad at private schools that get CHOOSE Act money, being mad at homeschoolers, being mad at folks that observe religious holidays on different days. I mean, go down the list. They are in it for the coaches and their records and championships and their superintendents. They're not in it for the kids. And this just exemplifies that, right? And so what's the effect of this decision going to be? In the short term, it's going to mean kids have to drive hours to go play a game. And while that's one thing on a Friday night or a Saturday, it's a whole different thing for the kids that are playing on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, right? And so they're going to be dog tired. You know, I got kids both who are involved in sports at a public school, for the record, that are going to have to drive 2 and 3 hours. You know, if they were in private school, they have to drive through 2 and 3 hours to compete. It's going to mean their parents can't get off work to get to go watch their kid in time. It's just so disappointing. And what you're going to end up seeing, in my opinion, is the private school say, this is so onerous to be a member of this organization, let's go start our own. And so they'll leave and they'll go do their own thing and they'll have their own rules. And if you think recruiting is an issue now, wait until it's expressly allowed. And you will start seeing that. And it will be, I think a big regret of those that really see public sport, high school sports is a good thing because it will mess all of this up.
Well, and so, you know, I wondered this. Now we've already got one injunction in place. Will these private schools challenge this, that are members of the AHSAA, take them to court, at least get some kind of injunctive relief temporarily?
Some of them may, but I think what you're going to see probably as early as next week is a very serious conversation going on between private schools in the whole state saying, this organization has made it clear that they hate private schools. And that they are not interested in our children. And so we need to leave. And I think that conversation is already taking place amongst private schools. And you can't blame them. I mean, the High School Athletic Association has been transparent about that. That's for sure. They do not like private schools, which is fine. But you got to realize those kids are – never mind. I'm tired of trying to tell the Alabama High School Athletic Association they need to be focused on kids. They're not. They're focused on themselves. And so I think you see private schools say we need to really consider whether or not we just need to go do our own thing. And we'll see what that decision looks like. But no, I don't think they fight to stay. I don't think they fight to get an injunction on the rules. I think they just leave.
They just leave because what are you getting out of it at this point from these guys?
Nothing good.
Yeah,
nothing
I mean, good. It's just like, what, you know, why would you use them as a pass-through when you can go – do your own thing, probably at a much lower cost, probably with much more friendlier, you know, framework of rules or whatnot. Why would you cling to this? And I think it's in some ways antiquated view of how to operate athletic programs throughout the state.
It is. I mean, it's the occupational licensing of high school sports, right? It's, they're in it for themselves. They're not in it for the kids. They're not in it for the licensees. It's the same thing. And so what's what we've got to fix. I'm not sure what the legislature is going to do with the High School Athletic Association, but to the extent that we were trying to tamp down some of the controversy and trying to see if we could sit down and find some sort of resolution, this hasn't done nothing but, you know, throw gasoline on the fire yet again. They are just contrary. They're not listening to legislators. They're not listening to their own constituents. They're doing whatever they want to heck with what it does to the kids that I represent and my colleagues represent.
Well, does this change Senator Chesteen? I mean, I know you can't speak for him necessarily, but you know, he was kind of he. I think the words he used was pump the brakes on this bill that he had filed that would change the governing board of that organization. Does this change the calculus at all?
Yeah, I think it does. I think this certainly breathes new life into that. Those members that may have been a little reticent are going to be looking at this decision today going, come on, you know, I mean, we are trying to work together and yet now y'all go do this. It's just a mistake. You know, it's not just a mistake for the board. It's not a mistake for the board not listening to the legislature. It is a mistake for high school athletics from here on out. And it is going to be seen as such when we look back on this in 2, 5, 10 years. This is going to be the day we go, this is when it all fell apart.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, I wasn't necessarily shocked by the announcement, but just it doesn't seem like the best timing while you guys are in session and are considering, you know, it seems like you're just totally misreading the situation. You know, and what happens there, you know, going forward, I don't know, but this isn't, you know, maybe you wait till you guys sign and die before you do something like this.
I think they relish the idea of conflict, and that's not going to end well for them.
Well, certainly got the lieutenant governor out there speaking about it already, and I suspect we'll hear more about that. Well, we'll get back to we'll move on to something different here. The business of the legislature. And like I said, I sat through a couple of days this week, blocking and tackling. When we got to the fifth legislative day, there's some bills that have been passed. Gudger's repeal of the Smith Lake thing got through and signed by the governor. But it should really start picking up next week, it seems.
It should. I mean, you know, as bills make their way through committee and more of them are in place to pass, you know, you'll see more activity on more substantial bills, and that's good, right? That's where I get excited is you know, the easy ones kind of go quickly, not a lot of conflict, not a lot of back and forth. And so I'll have House bills in committee next week, you know, to start moving some of those, and you'll see House bills on the Senate floor as early as next week. And so those will start moving along. You'll still see some introductions of some bills that are meaty and weighty and need consideration, but those will start moving along. And then I think you'll start seeing some pieces of legislation that may be a bit more controversial start to move a little bit, and so that'll be good as well. It's time to start talking about those.
I was talking in the hallway. Anna Morgan used to be at the Varsity Associates, and I didn't know she's at the Port Authority now. But we're talking about the mud dumping bill. There's a lot of talk about that and what's going on at the port. That they're concerned about this, but you know, when I first saw the fiscal note, I thought, man, that's going to kill it. But it sounds like that still very much is alive and in play right now.
Yeah, that bill is going to pass. I mean, I said before that was my number one priority this session was to do everything we could to stop the practice of thin layer placement or open water disposal or what some folks call the mud dumping in the bay. And we're going to do that. This piece of legislation that Rhett and I have is moving along. He's done a great job with it, and I look forward to it being on the floor in the House next week, and hopefully upstairs pretty soon, so we can get it passed. I will say there have been some good work behind the scenes, and this is what I was talking about earlier. There's a lot going on right now to negotiate to address some of the concerns that the port had. Again, nobody's mad at the port. We're just trying to stop this practice as much as possible. And so, you know, there were some legitimate concerns about general fund revenue being need to plug this hole. That certainly was not ever really my intention or Representative Marks' issue. And what we wanted to do was protect that. And so it really kind of negated the fiscal note altogether. I mean, the fiscal note changed dramatically because what came out original was bunk, I think is what the kids say now. And so now that's really kind of off the table. We've removed any barriers that they were frustrated about, and the port has come out in support of the legislation.
Wow. So, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Anything else you need to be watching? I guess the Matt Simpson bill carried by April Weaver in your chamber sounds like that's going to move next week, barring the dystopian snowstorm that's supposed to take over North Alabama, but you're gonna have that probably on the floor relatively soon, I would think.
I think so too, and you know, it'll be in committee likely next week upstairs, and then I think on the floor not too long after. There's some interesting pockets of opposition to that legislation that I'll let you kind of stay tuned for that I think, you know, might surprise some folks, but I do expect it to pass. It needs to pass. And you know, I think April's done good work on that in the past. She's ready to go. And it, you know, it never, it's awful, but it helps to have a recent thing you can point to that you can say, this is why we need to do that. And that's certainly occurred, you know, here recently, and hopefully we can do something to address that. So we'll see that piece of legislation. And then, you know, again, other bills still being filed. I've got a big economic development bill that really focuses on workforce funding, real workforce training. And we'll see an occupational licensing bill drop. So that'll be back next week. And so we'll start getting into the weighty stuff, the meaty stuff.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Real quick, just a couple of minutes here. Any insight into what we've seen on the election side of politics in the last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see a lot of folks that are, you know, kind of jumping in at the last minute. And to me, that's interesting. If you've got name recognition already, then that's one thing. But these folks that are jumping in here at the last minute that may not have that name recognition, you're just kind of also going out there and or maybe not any political experience at all or government experience at all. and kind of jumping in is very interesting to me at the last minute, mainly because it takes time, energy, effort, and frankly, money to build up that name recognition and to really establish who you are. And as you correctly point out, you know, May 19th is going to be here pretty soon. And so if you're polling in the low numbers right now and you don't have time, energy, you know, the effort or the money to really get your name out there and share who you are and what your message is, this is a tough thing to do in a short amount of time.
Well, I would say this, though. If you look at some of the polling in some of these marquee races even, but certainly even a little further down ballot, but not at the bottom of the ballot, I mean, the number of undecided seems like it's way higher than what it had been, you know, before, particularly the attorney general race, lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
I mean, there seems to be still a lot of people in play in some of these marquee races.
No question, and I've seen that polling data too, and some of that is surprising. But again, I think a lot of those candidates are going to have the money they need to get their message out, to inform the public who may not be as dialed in as you are or I am or your listeners are, but they will have an opportunity to reach those folks because they're going to be advertising. The ones that don't have that money are going to have a harder time reaching those people. They may have a great message, but if a tree falls in the woods, right? If you can't get the message out and articulate it to folks that may not be as engaged but still vote, then the likelihood of success is much lower.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but always appreciate your time, and we'll do it all again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me, and enjoy the weekend.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.